Let's go to the word of the Lord for our teaching, our Sunday school this morning, Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. Will be our reading assignment. Matthew 13 and 31, and then we'll go to Matthew 18 and 1. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in a field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. I want you to understand that this seed is very small. A mustard seed, most of you know, it's a very small thing. Now, we see it grows greens, you know. This is a tree, but it's still a very small seed, and it is sown into a very large field. But when it is grown, everyone say, when it is grown. When it is grown, no, it is the greatest. It went from the least to the greatest. It is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. My Lord, what a transformation. Then Matthew 18 and 1, at the same time, the disciples came unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who's the greatest? Is it I? Is it me? Who's going to be the greatest? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of all these who was wondering who would be the greatest. And he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as this, a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You're not even going to sit on a throne. You won't even get there. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. Notice he said, he got a child and he obeyed him. Didn't resist him, he just obeyed him. Unless you become obedient as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I want to talk about three things this morning. Time permits: the call, the cause, and the cost of greatness. The call, the cause, and the cost of greatness. Lord, we're thankful for your mercies this morning, for truly they are the greatest gift that heaven has ever offered to earth, to cover a multitude of sins, that, Lord, if we would turn from our wicked ways, you'd hear from heaven and heal our land. Thankful, Lord, that you gave us that mercy that we don't deserve. And Lord, let us return into your kingdom the things that you desire for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. In this text, the question arises, and it had arisen several times with the disciples as they one time disputed along the way as they walked. They began to argue among themselves as to who would be the greatest in the kingdom when the Lord set up his kingdom. And it would be like me seeing a huddle of men back there, and they're like, you know, who's going to be the greatest? And then when I come up, I say, what are y'all talking about? Oh, nothing. Nothing at all. It was just talking, you know. And the Lord would catch them talking about, disputing about who would be the greatest, because they were so concerned about earthly prestige and sitting on the right and sitting on the left. And I want to be a judge. Well, I want to be a king. I'm going to be a priest. And they were so concerned about their position that they would have in the kingdom of God. Why? Because they were still carnally minded. They were still carnally minded. And the disciples were not questioned who would be the greatest in the kingdom on earth. They knew Herod was the greatest. They were questioned who would be the greatest in the kingdom that was to come. And they were already wanting to position themselves to get ready for that kingdom. Insomuch so that even James and John's mother appeared to Jesus and said, Lord, if it be so, let one of my sons sit on the right. Isn't that just like a mama? You know how I passed grade school? I'm going to tell you how I passed grade school. My mama already knows. She's smiling. She cooked every teacher cakes and pies and brownies. And I become the teacher's pet. That's the only way I could pass. And then when I passed the next grade, she forgot about that second grade teacher. She was the third grade teacher now. And she got all, you know what I'm talking about, you know. And so she wanted to make sure her son was, and there was nothing wrong with this lady wanting her sons to sit on the right and the left, but Jesus said, it's not for me to determine, but my Father, which is in heaven, you're going to determine it by what you do. Amen. And today we can argue over different things today as a, who's the greatest boxer that ever was? And some will say it was Cassius Clay before he became Muhammad Ali. And some will say, oh, Jack Dempsey could have taken him out. And no, Joe Frazier had that right hand, that hook, boy, he could. And we can argue it till the cows come home as to who's the greatest boxer, who was the greatest golfer. Oh, Arnold Palmer, you know, he won more than Jack Nicklaus did. And we could go, oh, Tiger Woods, he was great. What does it matter? What does it matter? We can continue to argue who's the greatest, and we don't solve anything, because it's all greatness is in the mind of the one who determines it. And so it's just an opinion, but we all determine greatness by how influential somebody was, by how high they rose, and by how many people, how many votes they get, and so forth and so on. But Jesus does not determine greatness as men do. You can read stories how a young man was just called to be great. Some people are called. In fact, the Bible says many are called. I believe all are called. It says, but few are chosen, and of those, only few are faithful. Hallelujah, to the cause of God. And you can read stories how a young man was raised in a poverty-stricken home, and he loved to play football, and he played yard ball in the neighbor's yard, and he was good at what he did. He began to excel a little bit. Everybody wanted him on their team, and he become a little great at a little age. And before long, he was playing in the high school team, and he was the quarterback or whatever position he played, and he was great. He began, his renownness began to go up, and before long he was getting offers from colleges to come to this. No, we want you, we want you. And his greatness began to go, and before long he finished college and in the pro teams. Well, no, we're willing to pay him $10 million a week just to get him over here, you know. And then his greatness begins to grow. And once he gets on the team, oh, he's setting all kinds of records. And before long, he's in the Hall of Fame at Canton, Ohio. But he didn't start out in the Hall of Fame. He started out with the call and the cause and the cost. He had the call, but he had a lot of practice to do, a lot of bumps and a lot of ups and a lot of downs. There's some losses along the way, and there's a lot of practice and things that goes along with it. And you got to fight for the cause. He could play football, but he probably couldn't play that organ. He couldn't do anything else but football. But that was the cause that he was fighting for. And so anytime there's a call to excel, we need to answer the call. Amen. You and I have a call to a cause, and there's a cost to be great in the kingdom of God. You can't just determine it by, oh man, he preaches, Lord, you ought to see this guy can really. Anybody that's great in the kingdom of God first went down before they ever came up. Hallelujah. There is a price to pay. When you look at a fruit tree and somebody gives you fruit, and a lot of y'all give me fruit, and you know, if I go pastor another church, y'all going to keep giving me that fruit? I just got to thinking about that. Or y'all just buttering me up. And when somebody gives you fruit, you don't see in that fruit, you don't see the hoeing and the watering and the fertilizing and the bird net. And you don't see all of that. What you see is the greatness. But there was a cost and there was a cause that you don't see. Amen. To be great in the kingdom of God, there is suffering that goes along the way. I've recently taught you, after you've suffered a while, then he begins to establish you and settle you. But people that have a positive attitude about greatness, they always think this is just a trial that will propel me further. They never have a negative attitude. I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to give up. I just can't make it. They always look at setbacks as setups for their future. You got me this time, but you won't get me next time. And they prepare through their weaknesses. They strengthen themselves in their weaknesses to make them strong. The Bible talks about David, and David had a lot of weaknesses, right? But he had a lot of strength too. Amen. He had a lot of strength too. And the Bible says this about David. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. And David went on and grew great. Did you hear that? Grew great. The mustard seed grew great. It wasn't great when it was put into the ground. David wasn't great when he was in the shepherd's field shoveling dung or whatever he did around for those sheep. He wasn't great then, but he went on. And the Bible says, and he grew great. And so men desire greatness and they desire recognition and they desire power. But Jesus redefined greatness in his kingdom. In Luke chapter 22 and 24, let's look at this. And there was strife among them again, which of them would be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. We don't fight over being servants, do we? Oh, no, let me serve. It's my turn to sweep the church. Oh, it's my turn to do the weed eating. Oh, don't you dare do that weed eating. I'm going to do the weed eating this week. I don't want to hear nothing out of you. Oh, we don't hear that. It's my turn to sing. It's my turn to be heard. It's my turn to play the piano. I'm glad we don't have that around here because I don't allow it. We don't fight over the little thing. We fight over when we're going to be seen, when we're going to be heard. The kingdom of God does not operate that way. Amen. And the difference between the world's greatness and the greatness in the kingdom of God is this. We have a different cause. We have a different cause than the world has. They do it for a corruptible crown, but we do it for an incorruptible crown. Hallelujah. Thank God that God called me and he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light to work for a cause. I hate to know I'm doing something for nothing. I'd hate to know that what I'm doing is in vain. I want to work for the cause of God. And when you look at some of the greatest people in American history, I could name a few names. Paul Revere. You name me one thing he did. Just one. The Midnight Ride. You learn that in American history. Nathan Hale, what did he say? Give me liberty or give me death. What did Patrick Henry say? I regret that I have but one life to live for my country. Go check that out. I think I'm right on that. They did one thing, but in all cases, it was about the cause. And the cause was freedom. And the cause was so great that they was willing to give their own life for the cause. The cost was their life. The cause was freedom. Amen. And until we realize in the kingdom of God what our cause is, you'll never pay the price. People that don't pay the price don't recognize the cause. Hallelujah. And you can't have greatness without paying your dues to mastery. Anybody that masters anything, he didn't learn how to play that guitar with three quick lessons he got off the internet. It doesn't happen. There was hours and hours. I'm sure that sometimes Sister Petrie would say, Artie, are you coming to bed or not? He brought the guitar to bed with him, probably. Picked it into bed. But you hear the fruit of it, but you didn't see it grow into what you see today. Amen. And so I want to be like that. I want to be like that. And I've said before, if you want what I've got, you got to do what I did to get it. It doesn't just come on trees. My dad used to tell me, son, money don't grow on trees. Amen. So let's look at how Jesus redefines greatness in the kingdom of God. And so when we look at this scripture, he says it's like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed into his field. A grain, he said, which is the least of all the seeds that are out there. Very small seed, and he sows it into a very big field. But when it is grown, it becomes the greatest. It went from the smallest to the greatest. Are you hearing me this morning? And when it became the greatest, it put on branches that offered fruit and help to the birds and to others. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It became a service to others. It went from the least, the unknown, to the known. But when it was known for its service. Yeah, it was known because it added value to other things. And so as a seed, it must go through a maturing process, whether it be droughts and too much water and not enough water. And here we have with us John Curry here this morning. We appreciate him coming. I can't imagine how many times he gets asked, well, I got this tree and it's turned yellow and I don't know what's wrong with it. Well, what you need to do is this. Well, I got this black fungus on it. Trees go through a lot of things, seasons and funguses and diseases and all kinds of things to get that fruit. But when the fruit comes through the maturing process, then it produces a fruit that is great. Now, let me tell you the thing about greatness. Greatness is not just a one-time thing. I mean, you can give me a basketball, I can throw it at half court, and eventually I'll make it. You give me enough time and I'll make it. But greatness is when you can, and every time it's consistency. Greatness is when next year you put on fruit and next year you put on fruit. It's not one time I'm a Christian, the next week don't check with me next week because I don't have any fruit. But come back in a year or so, I may have a little bit more fruit. Consistency is greatness when you can keep reproducing what you've been producing. Amen. Consistency is the key to being great. Anything that's inconsistent cannot be great. And this tree, it matures and it brings forth branches and fruit that helps others. And you and I today need to realize that when you come to God, you're like that seed that is planted in the ground. When you plant a seed in the ground, it is a consumer. It just sucks it up. It sucks up the water. It sucks up the nutrients. It takes the sun in. It's just a consumer. It's a consumer before it's ever a producer. And when you come to God, many times people think they're going to set the world on fire. Oh, no, you need to mature. You need to be sure you're ready for the challenge. And be a consumer when you come to God for a while. Take those Bible studies, read your Bible, start praying, work with people, and be a consumer. Get all the Word of God you can get because you're going to need it. And then when you have matured, you can be a producer. You can produce in the kingdom of God. So our first example of greatness, he took a small seed and said it becomes a great tree when it is grown. And then he takes a child. They're arguing. Grown men arguing over who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus says, oh, y'all want to know who the greatest is? Young man, come. And a little child walks and he puts him in the midst of all of these men. And he says, the call to greatness is this. It's like the little seed that matured into a great tree. You have to start out in the kingdom of God as a child. As a child. And so he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted like this and become like a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of God. Whosoever shall humble. When I asked him to come, he just got up and he came over here. He didn't say, what are you going to do with me? What do you want me for? How much do I get paid to do this? Come on. If Jesus was here today, could he take your child? Could he take your child and say the kingdom of heaven is like unto your child? I don't know if he'd use a child today. I hope that he could. Children today are, in that day when Jesus was there, children were servants. Children were servants. They worked in the field and they helped prepare at the house. They were servants. You don't see many servant children today. They're still consumers. But he took what was a servant. And the last time I checked, a servant is obedient to his master. That's why I like dogs. We were talking about dogs this morning. with Brother Sumter over here. I was talking about dogs, and he's got dogs, and I got dogs. I love my dogs. You know why? My dogs love me. They see me. They wag their tail. They're always glad to see me. Always glad to see me. Someone said that a man's best friend was a dog. And somebody said, oh, no, a wife is a man's best friend. He said, uh-uh. He said, you put your wife and your dog in a trunk for 30 minutes and then open the trunk and see which one's glad to see you. And you will find out which one is your best friend. Dogs are so loyal. Can I talk about dogs just for a minute? Because dogs are so loyal. Went squirrel hunting the other day. I took a guy squirrel hunting, dying to take his little boy, about 11 years old, squirrel hunting with a squirrel dog. I said, well, he's out of Opelousas. They come met me, and dog, I let him out, and he run around. You know, they had guns and camo, so he was cool. And we killed about 8 squirrels, and we got through. The man says, I want to get a picture of your dog with my son and I behind these squirrels. So I said, Phil, my dog won't let you do that. Them squirrels are his. He owns those squirrels now. He said, no, it'll be fine. I said, I don't think so. He said, lay them out here on the fender. So there's a fender well of the tray. We laid them out, and I'm like, this is not going to work. I know my dog. And so the little boy gets behind the squirrels, and he squats down, and I got my hand on the collar of the dog, and he's trying to pet the dog. He said, oh, Buck. He called him Bucky. He said, it's going to be all right. And Bucky's going, ugh. You know, they'll turn that leaf up. He's looking out the corner. I said, Phil, I don't think this is going to work. He said, no, it's going to be fine. He said, here's my phone. Take a picture of me and my son. I said, all right. And let me tell you something. When I turned loose of that collar, he turned loose on him. Knocked him down. And I had to go pull my dog. You know why? I'm his master. And I'm the only one he obeys. He knows my voice. And a stranger he will not follow. That's what Jesus said about his sheep. They know his voice. They are loyal to me. And a stranger they will not follow. This little boy that he brought into their company this morning, as I looked at this and I began to realize that what he brought was really a servant, a little boy that is obedient to the words of their parents and hear the words of Christ. And here, while grown men are squabbling, this young man is just obedient to the word of the Lord. You know, there's no sub greatness begins with obedience. Nobody ever got great on their own. You had to subject yourself to something. I remember a story one time of a man who was by himself. He's a very wealthy man, although his servant, you might say, a guy he hired, did not know it. And he had a stack of bricks on one side of his house, just all piled up. And he had a guy that was working for him. He said, hey, I want to move these bricks to the other side of the house. The guy said, okay. He got him a wheelbarrow, and he loaded it up. And at the end of the day, he pays him. Next day, he calls, hey, I need you again. He said, okay. He said, what you need? Hey, I want to move these bricks that were over here. I want to move them over here again. All right. So he loads them up and he moves them back over here. He pays him. The next day, he comes back. He said, what do you need today? He said, I want to move those bricks over there, over there. He said, you got to be crazy. I'm not going to move them bricks again. He said, you're fired. You're fired. And he went through several of these guys. He was paying them what he... You know the story of the parable of the penny of the day, right? They all got the penny, right? And so finally he hires this guy, and he moves him, 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 and he moves him. And the guy says, stop. He said, you have been obedient to me. I have no heirs. I wanted to leave my fortune to somebody I could trust. Last time I checked, there's a kingdom up there. And he's looking for obedient servants that won't question, Master, what do you want? Why do you want me to do this? Lord, why did this come on me? Lord, I just don't really deserve this. You know I'm paying my tithes. You know I'm going to church. He's looking for obedient. He's looking for greatness. Greatness comes with submission. The greatest thing two guys can ever do that's butting heads and arguing is not fight, it's walk away. Somebody's got to walk away. And the greatest of them is the one that's willing to back out. The call to his kingdom this morning is not for you to assume authority or to be elevated in the eyes of others, but it is to be humiliated, if you will, to humble yourself in the eyes of others, and that will prepare you for greatness. The call of Christ is to be great in the kingdom of God is for you to realize that the way up is down. Great leaders, I've noticed, were first great followers. Never be a great leader until you're a great follower. I remember one time, many times, I've had to repent. Y'all know your pastor repents from time to time. I had to repent. I remember when I was under other youth leaders, they would try to start some kind of program or whatever. And they struggled to get it going because there wasn't enough participation. Then one day I became the youth leader. And I began to want to get a function going. And they'd begin to tell me, I don't think I got something else to do. And I'm like, I should have said, what do you want me to do next? I should have been a participant and not hung on the wall waiting for somebody else to do it. Great leaders become great followers before they're ever great leaders. We live in a society, in a time today where people, I've heard this so many times, I just got to be myself. I just got to be myself. Well, if you want to be yourself, don't get married. Don't get married. If you want to be yourself, don't get a job. You can't be yourself on the job. You want to be yourself, don't even get to a dog, because that dog's going to require that you feed him and water him and tend to him. And I mean, go so far, if you want to just be yourself, don't get a goldfish. I mean, after a while you have to change the water, and that's not too pleasant either. You want to be yourself, go get in a room and close it up, and we'll see how long you want to be yourself. Being yourself is not what God wants you to be. He wants you to be, take on his nature, who did nothing for himself, but he did everything for others. That, my friend, is greatness, to become a servant to others. Amen. The greatest joy a servant has is to please his master. And the greatest joy that we have today is to serve others in the kingdom of God. And I'm closing. Jesus talked about building a tower, and he said, which of you would build a tower? And a tower, of course, is a sign of strength. It's a sign of power. He said, which of you would build a tower and first not sit down and counteth the cost to see if he has sufficient enough to finish it? When you ask kids today, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, I'm going to be a brain surgeon. I'm going to be a fireman. You know, they don't have the ability to count the cost. What they're looking at is the final product. And you and I today, when you want to be a disciple, a real disciple of Christ, you better sit down, my friend, and count the cost. Birds have nests. Foxes have holes. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Have you counted the cost? My. I'm thankful today for everything that I've been through in my life. I don't regret any of it. Sure, if there was ways I could go back and do it again, I'd do some things different. But I firmly believe in the law of recoil. And the law of recoil says, like in a bow, when you pull it back this far, it goes much further than you pull it back. No matter how far, my brothers and sisters, the devil has beaten you back, you can go further in Christ. Hallelujah. The further he beat you back,
the further you can go in Him. Hallelujah. There's no limit. So I find people that were persecuted the most do the most in the kingdom of God. People that don't go through anything, they don't go very far. But people that go through a lot, wow, the devil beat them back. And when finally God releases that era, there's no limit to how far you can go in the kingdom of God. Amen. There's nothing wrong with wanting greatness. That was not the problem. Nothing wrong. You know, Paul taught us, he said, concerning spiritual gifts, he said, I would not have you ignorant of these things, of spiritual gifts. He said, but what you should do is desire them. And the best gifts, seek after them. Hallelujah. When's the last time you asked God to make you a prophet? When's the last time you said, Lord, I want to be used in the gifts of the Spirit? If you don't seek them, you won't have them. Amen. Jesus illustrated greatness moments before he got on the cross. Number one on his bucket list was washing feet. Just before the supper had ended, and he got him a towel and a basin of water, and he lined them up. Said, put your foot in here. Dirty old, dusty, toenail fungus. And he washed their feet, showing this is greatness. And Peter said, oh, no, Lord, not I. He said, unless you let me wash you, you're not going to be clean at all. Well, Lord, don't only wash my feet, wash me head down. Hallelujah. Greatness is when you can hang on a cross and those that are crucifying you and those that are pulling your beard out and those that are spitting on you and those that are saying others he could save but himself he cannot. Oh, he called Elias. Let him come down off the cross and save him. When they're ridiculing you, you can say along with Christ, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is greatness. Let's clap our hands to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll make this little quick announcement, and then I'll probably make it again later. Many of you remember Felicia's mom coming here to church. They're trying to do, you know, she's still in a very critical condition, and they're trying to help her with some funds. So the lady is going to give a Tupperware party, and 40% of the proceeds goes to helping her mom with medical bills and so forth. So if you want to participate with that, Sister Felicia has some information, and we'll give you some more details a little later. But I don't really do fundraisers here, but a cause like this I feel like it's worth the cause. Amen. So get with her if you have anything you can do to help her mom. Amen. God bless you. Take a quick break, and we'll come back for morning worship in just a few minutes.